And so today we're going to talk about being adequate. And so all of us, we have some strong points. We have some things that maybe were a little bit weak. We got some debits. We got some credits. Some things we're really good at. Some things we may not really be good at. But the philosophy of business of the past used to be, go look at find your weaknesses and strengthen those weaknesses. Now, today's philosophy in business and even in the church has picked up the philosophy that work in your strengths and bring somebody else alongside of you that can help complement your weaknesses. And so that's been a big change because we've often heard we need to strengthen our weakness. But how many know that God has gifted you in certain ways, and why not work in your strengths? And don't waste your time working on strengthening something that God has not even prepared or equipped you to even work. So we're going to look at that here today. As a kid, I went to school. Yes, I did. I even graduated. And we would get report cards, which they still do. And sometimes you would find a P on there or an S instead of a grade. And so I don't know about you, but I had to work hard in school to get my grades. And when I got a C, I kind of had a fit because I wasn't a straight A. I knew I wasn't going to be that smart, but I wanted at least to be on the honor roll. So when you get a P and an S, you kind of look at it and it's like, why couldn't they just give me a grade? I worked hard getting there, doing that class. Why couldn't you just give me a grade? But what does it actually mean when you get a P or an S? To me, it kind of has a negative connotation. To me, it kind of means that maybe you just did enough to get by. For some, how many know in school, that's all they did, was enough to get by. You barely enough or barely made it. And so today, I want to look at this word adequate today. And it kind of has a negative connotation, just like passing or satisfactory. And so if you look at the definition, you'll kind of find some positive things and some negative things. Adequate means capable. That sounds pretty positive, right? That we're capable of doing something fitting. I don't like the word satisfactory. You know, it kind of leaves you kind of in limbo, maybe like, you just kind of made it over the mark. Above average, I like that definition. Or acceptable. I kind of don't like that one. You know, you're just kind of acceptable. Doesn't make you feel too good, does it? Anyway, so it's kind of upsetting when you kind of hear that. But if we look at the other side of the coin, we kind of see that when God says we're adequate, it kind of takes on a new connotation here for us this morning. If we're going to share our faith, lead a ministry, or stand up in front of a group like I am here today, most people feel inadequate. When we ask people to come up and testify or give an announcement or something going on, they're up here shaking, and And then some of them, now we can't shut up, you know, when they come up. But most people feel inadequate. A lot of times people feel ill-equipped, fearful, insecure. They lack the confidence to be able to do something. But when we look at adequate in the sense that the Bible talks about here today, from God's point of view, it can be very comforting. It can be encouraging. It can be motivating. And so that's kind of what we want to look at here today. When you look at some of the characters in the Bible, you will see when they received the call of duty from God, they felt very inadequate. We have individuals like Moses and Gideon and Jeremiah, Timothy. But today I want to focus on an individual named Paul. Most of us don't think Paul was very adequate to what God had called him to do. But we're going to look at an area of his life that maybe you've never noticed before, but he had kind of had a weakness. And so we're going to kind of look at that here today and maybe put ourselves in his shoes here this morning, because I believe a lot of us feel the same way Paul did in this area that he was struggling in. So are you ready? All right, Paul had a weakness. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures here. We're getting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm just going to say this at the headings here. I just kind of want you to kind of pick up on what Paul is saying here. I believe that as we look at this first verse, you're going to see that Paul, as we read it, we would think that he might have done this on purpose. Look at what it says. Verse 17 of chapter 1, it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So you kind of have here that Paul's intention was not to be eloquent, not to show human wisdom. And so we kind of pick that up there. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and starting with verse 1. Did he do this on purpose again? Let's read it. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Pretty good stuff. But let's go to 2 Corinthians. I kind of came across this as I was going through, and it kind of sheds a different light, and this is what how others viewed Paul. He says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 9, it says, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that we are in what we are in our letters when we are absent. We will be in our actions when we are present. So if you go to the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you're going to see what Paul thinks of his speaking. He says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Look what he says. I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles, the other apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. You need to understand that Paul was a force to be reckoned with. He was passionate. He was zealous. He was a fanatic. He was very confident. He was determined. In fact, to some people, he was very scary. All right? And so they were scared of Paul. He had a name, a reputation that when Paul was coming to town, if you were a Christian, you kind of shook in your boots because Paul was a persecutor of the church. But Paul's kryptonite was public speaking. You probably never heard of that before. And this is Paul's opinion here as we look at it. We see it was the opinion of others. So if Paul, who was called to be an apostle and plant churches and wrote about half the New Testament, had trouble with publicly proclaiming the gospel, where does that leave some of us? It's kind of intimidating. It kind of makes us maybe feel a little bit inadequate here this morning. So what does Paul say in his defense of inadequacy? So we're going to look there. We only have 2 points here today. Hallelujah. But they're long points, so don't get too excited. All right. So let's look at what Paul says. Paul recognized his weakness. He recognizes here that he was not known for his public speaking. But he did not speak with human wisdom. He begins his conversation here. And today we are inundated. We are drowning under human witness. Or our wisdom. We hear it all around. We're surrounded it. A lot of us have our TVs on too much. Some of us are listening to podcasts. We're listening to all this stuff. And we're being inundated. It's the daily intake of human wisdom is immeasurable and it's endless. And some of us can't unplug. We're having a hard time. And it's affecting us. We have become addicted to it. It's like we can't get enough. It's like a drug. We don't want anything else. How many know a drug addict doesn't want anything else but drugs? He stops eating. In church, today we have people that are more tuned into Fox News than they are their Bibles. And so we need to be careful here today. So Paul, as an example, he went to Athens. How many know the story of he went there? He talked to the philosophers, right? And so it's kind of comparable to what we have here today. Paul went there. He tried to preach the gospel to them. And all they were interested in was more human wisdom to attach to their own human wisdom. And so they rejected him. And the Bible says only a few people followed Paul to inquire more about his faith. So human wisdom, church, why we're so attracted to it, is because it tickles our ears. Because there are certain things that we want to hear. And so we tune into those things all the time that we want to hear. Most of you, some of you, you preach Fox News more than you do the Bible. God forbid that you would ever speak or watch CNN or MSNBC. God forbid that we'd have another idea presented to us here this morning. So Paul said, I didn't come with human wisdom. I didn't come here to give you my ideas. And he goes on and says, I did not speak with eloquence. I don't know about you, Pastor Whitney. I'm sorry to say what I'm going to say. Worship team, I would rather hear a good sermon than I would to be in a good worship service. Mm-mm-mm. Come on. The worship sets us up for hearing the word of God, for the Spirit of God to move in our hearts. I tell you what, when you hear a good sermon, it's like eating a good meal. And when you know it's a good sermon is when you look at your watch and when the preacher says, I'm finished, you're looking at your watch and say, wow, you're done? You know, like you do every week for me? But there's nothing like a good sermon. And Apollos was one of those individuals that came along following after Paul that was very eloquent in speech. And so people were attracted to the preaching of Apollos. And I want to say here today that being eloquent doesn't mean you're accurate. Being eloquent doesn't mean that what you're hearing is life-changing. Eloquence doesn't always result in good theology. It just means you're a good speaker. And so Apollos was coming, and he was speaking. And the Bible says, and I don't quite understand the scripture here, it says he knew the scriptures. And it says he preached the word about Jesus accurately. But it says in Acts chapter 18, verse 26, he began to speak boldly in a synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. I don't quite understand it. If he knew the scriptures and he was preaching Jesus accurately, how? But there was something in his message, something in his public speaking that was missing. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they pull him aside and say, hey, this is what you're missing. You need to hit it. You need to hit the target here. We also see here that Paul, he said, I spoke with weakness and great fear and trembling. I don't know about you, but I don't run up here with a whole lot of confidence every time I come up to preach. There is a little trepidation. I'm over there thinking, okay, Lord, how do I begin this? How do I start? You know, and once I get rolling, I'm fine, but I kind of struggle at the beginning just getting started. But today, I realize today that as I stand up here, I am speaking as a representative of Jesus Christ. And when you speak forth and you testify or you preach or you minister, you teach, whatever you do, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. So it is with weakness and great fear and trembling that we should be standing up in front of individuals and sharing our faith and not be over and confident with our human wisdom and our knowledge, but that we're depending on the Spirit of the living God. Because every time we preach, people are either going to accept or they're going to reject what we are speaking about. And so today, I want you to know that when we speak, we pray that the Spirit of God will move and speak to hearts. Because as we stand up before you, it's not about us. It is about Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit moves, guess what? Conviction will come. When he shows up, there will be conviction. He will convince you of the truth. And so we need to realize that the Holy Spirit showing up and convicting people can be very dangerous. We read it in the Bible when they preached the gospel, some people got mad. Some preachers got stoned. Some people got thrown in prison and beaten. When's the last time you heard a sermon that made you mad? We don't hear very many of those. But I'm telling you here today, when the Holy Spirit moves, when he convicts, folks, you better hold on. Because we're going to come before you with weakness and great fear and trembling because we are his representative. Paul spoke, he said, not with wise or persuasive words. And I don't know if you've ever been around ministries. I've been around two international ministries. I was in schools with two different international ministries. And one of the schools that I went to, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist had a lot of swagger. And that's all the hint I will give you. But he was a very confident individual. And we need to be careful that we present this gospel above board, that there is no deception in what we're preaching. The Bible says that when we give, we're supposed to not what? Give under compulsion, right? So as we're giving out the word of God, guess what? We're not forcing people to move or act in a specific way. That is not our job here today. That's not what we're called to do. And as I said, this pastor, he had a lot of swagger. He was very prideful. He was an individual that could manipulate a crowd because he was very eloquent. In fact, the national magazines of our nation identified him as one of the greatest communicators in the United States and around the world. And so we don't want to depend on our eloquence, on our ability to communicate like this individual. Because, folks, we don't want to give people the wrong impression about Christianity. How many times have we persuaded somebody to say a prayer and say you're saved when they were not? How many know only Jesus can save people? I see you're excited about my sermon. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:10 said, his speaking amounts to nothing. I like the New Living Translation. It says, his speeches are really bad. His preaching's really bad. Could you imagine? How many of us would go and hear a bad preacher? This is what they were claiming Paul was. You're terrible. You're an awful speaker. And I kind of can identify at times with Paul. There are some times that I have spoken. I go home and I beat myself up. I really do. And it's probably with the music team. There's certain things. You prepare, you're ready, and it just like it's a flop. And you, in your hearts, we kind of feel that way. I did a funeral a way back, and I got back, and I told Pastor Whitney, I said, man, that was the lousiest funeral I've ever done in my entire life. I was like a scalded dog. I was out of there as soon as I could get, and it was just terrible. And so Paul's saying here that, you know, even if we do bad things, what we think is bad communication, guess what? It's not about us. It is about Jesus Christ. If we did our best, we prepared, guess what? We place it in his hand. And I got to thinking of that Queen song, you know. I know you don't know what I'm talking about here because you don't know group three, you know. You got mud on your face. Big disgrace, right? Some of you are already singing it, so get out of here. You need to repent. All right. We need to be reminded, church, that it's not about us. And Paul went on to say, I admit I am not a trained speaker. Paul admitted it. I will admit it. You might as well admit it. There are very few people that are very eloquent in speaking. And if that's all we want is just the eloquent people, then guess what? Not many people are going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Paul recognized his weakness. I don't know if you agree with this sermon or not, but Paul lays it out here saying, hey, this isn't my strong point. This is not it. So, Paul turns around here, and he goes from saying, I know what my weakness is, now he turns around in the same scriptures and he reveals to us the secret to preaching the gospel. And so we're going to look at it again here today. He goes on and says, the message of the cross is the power of God. Do you understand that? The message plus the message, which is the cross, results in the power of God. Folks, that's where it's at. It's in the proclamation of the message. The message is where the power is. It is not in you. You are not the power. The message empowers you as the messenger. This is going over really well here today. Hallelujah. The truth is, we like to give people our two cents. We do. We are always thinking ahead. We're not really listening to people. While they're speaking, we're already thinking of how we're going to respond. We don't care. We don't have the power to change anyone's life. What you think you know is really not that important. But the message is. Jesus changes lives. Jesus cleans up the mess in people's lives. How many times do we want to clean up their mess for them? We want to help them out a little bit. No, it's Jesus that does the cleaning. We catch the fish, as the saying goes. Who cleans it? Jesus cleans the fish. So Paul says the first secret is the cross. Preach the cross of Jesus Christ. Secondly, he said, he proclaimed to them the testimony about God. You know, church, we need to get out of the way. Somehow, some way, we always want a little bit credit. We always want somebody to pat on us on the back and say, hey, we did a pretty good job. Folks, don't go there. I got a call this week from an individual, and it was kind of funny because he was kind of, I kind of thought he was kind of bragging on himself. He was a preacher, and he was talking about an individual he was in another meeting. He said that he had spoken over, and now that person is in the ministry. And that, in fact, he told that other individual even about a church where he's now involved in. And so I was thinking there, as I'm listening to this guy, it's like, man, he's blowing his own horn, you know. And I kind of thought, hey, this would be a good sermon illustration. But how often do we put ourselves in that position of saying, if it wasn't for me? Folks, it's not about us. We're the messenger. What John say? I must decrease so he may increase. Yeah, it's good to be thankful, to receive thanks for your service, for your ministry. Yes, it is. But folks, if that's what you're depending on, man, you're in sad shape. So get over yourself. So Paul said his message and his preaching were with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Our job is to preach. Our job is to share God's word. God, even share our testimony of what God has done in our lives. So we are to what? Preach with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. It's the Spirit's job to demonstrate. Whether you ever come and respond to any of my sermons, big whoop. It is the Spirit's job to take what I say and apply it to your life. I'm giving myself an out, Pastor Chris. Okay. So as we preach, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to use us, the demonstration will come. You know, I do like some old-time preaching. I do like evangelists that kind of get into it, stomp and shout, and, you know, I do like that kind of preaching. But I'll tell you what the danger of that is, that sometimes they know what buttons to press. And you can even see it within our church, that if there are certain phrases used or certain words used or certain scriptures that are quoted, y'all get excited. And the danger is that sometimes we go after those buttons because we want a response. Maybe not so much to God, but we want a response to what we're saying. And so that can be very dangerous. Amen, Tim. That was good. So we proclaim, the Holy Spirit demonstrates what happens. People get saved. People receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People get healed. People are delivered. People get a revelation of God speaking to them where they're at that moment. There is the evidence of growth in their life. So Paul says, you know, my message and my preaching is with the idea that the Holy Spirit's going to show up and he's going to do the work. So Paul goes on and says, my actions also back up my words. We read in there that Paul said, you think my letters are tough and strong, and when I get there, I'm a wimp. I mentioned this last week. You think I can't cut the mustard when I'm present with you? And Paul said, I'm consistent. What I write in my letters, I am going to be in my preaching. So hang on. I'm coming. That's what Paul's saying here. We need to be careful, folks, that what we're speaking, our lives match up to what we're speaking. I think I might have told you this story, but I'm going to tell you again because it's a good one. In my first pastorate, I had an individual in my church that he was on my advisory board. We were a missions church, and I didn't know he smoked. And so he kind of told this illustration on himself. He had given up smoking, and he was down to one cigarette a day. He said, that's all. He said, I just couldn't get rid of that one cigarette. And it happened to be that when he smoked a cigarette, it was at work. He'd eat lunch and smoke that one cigarette. And so when he had an opportunity to witness to somebody at work, guess what? That one cigarette became a stumbling block because that lady wouldn't listen to him because, well, here you are telling me how I need to live and that I need Jesus, and you're a smoker. Our lives and our message need to be lined up. I think a lot of us don't speak out because we're afraid our life doesn't match up. It's quiet in here today. Paul said, you know, even though I'm an untrained speaker, he said, I am knowledgeable. I have a lot of knowledge. And today, that's a secret that we can have here today. If you know Jesus, and if you know the Word of God, that's all you need. Do you hear me today? That's all you need. He said, I know Jesus. You see, Paul was a theologian. Paul claims in Galatians that Jesus himself taught me in visions. How many know when you have Jesus and know Jesus, and when you know the scriptures, you will speak out with boldness and conviction? You will be one who speaks with authority. How many know that knowledgeable people persuade people? You don't need a bunch of letters after your name or a title in front of your name. All you need to know is Jesus, and you need to know your Bible. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, I'm not any better speaker than anybody else. In fact, you guys think I stink. But I am knowledgeable, and I know what I'm talking about. Even though I'm not eloquent, even though I don't use human wisdom, he said, I know. And church, we need to be convinced that we know. So we're going to conclude. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not need to be propped up. Do you understand that? It doesn't need you. It doesn't need you. It only needs you to be the messenger. We are not responsible for the results. And that's a hallelujah. How many times do we minister or teach or do whatever and we want to see something happen? And when we don't see something happen, what do? We become discouraged. Folks, it's not our job to make it happen. Our job is to proclaim, to teach, to preach, to witness, to share our testimony. That's it. Let God take care of the results. We are responsible for being obedient and faithful. When you get to heaven, you're going to be judged on your works, on your faithfulness and your obedience, not your sin. As a believer, if you're walking with Jesus, he's going to say what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to look at the tally sheet and say, hey, I see all the great things you did and accomplished. No. Because that's not our job. As we're looking for a new vision for our churches, we're looking for the future. We're just looking for the opportunities of how to get the gospel out. We can't create revival, but we can give the message of revival. We can't heal anybody, but we can give the message of the one who can. Everything we do must be pointing to Jesus. Let's get out of the way and let him. We go back to the beginning, adequate. You are adequate. You are adequate to the job. If he has called you, he will equip you. And you'll get the job done. That's all he's asking. Father, today we want to be adequate for you. Not just satisfactory, not just getting by, but Lord, we want to be above average. We don't want to be just acceptable. But Lord, we want to be capable. We want to be anointed. We want to be filled. And Lord, today we just come, we humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, we come today knowing, God, it's not about us. Yes, we got to be people, holy people, righteous people. But Lord, we just need to come and be faithful and leave the results to you. Hallelujah. Father, we just humble ourselves before you and we just say, Lord, may you stir the hearts of individuals today and just reaffirm in their heart, Lord, that you do want to use them, that you have a place for them, that you have a work for them to do. And that, Lord, they are adequate for it. Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and self-control. Hallelujah. We just want to close the service today. If you're in need of prayer, I know we prayed already, but if there's something that you would like to pray or come to the altar today, that's fine. But if you wanted us to pray for maybe a specific need, we'd be glad to do that here this morning as we close out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray as this month begins, Lord, you see all the things on our calendar. There are a lot of incredible things going to happen, Lord. There's opportunities for us to serve. There's opportunities for us to minister. We also see the opportunity that our kids are going to have, Lord, to be a light and to do the service next week, but also to go to camp and to receive, Father. And Lord, we're just believing even now we're going to begin to pray, Lord, that as they go to camp, Lord, you're going to begin to prepare their hearts, that you're going to save some, you're going to fill some when the night comes to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, you will call some of them into your ministry. We thank you, Lord, that we want to be a church that, Lord, lets its light shine. We want to be the salt of the earth. But most of all, we want you to receive the honor, the glory, and the praise. And we pray in your name. Amen.